This is the Ted Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. And I think we are joined by Mr. Tony Leah of Unifor and of Local 222, in which he is the chairman of the Political Action Committee. And if there's a place that calls for political action, it's Oshawa General Motors, where the General Motors company says they're going to close the plant, and there's no discussion. Are you there, Tony Leah?
I am, Phil.
Thanks very much for joining us. I've been following your writing, and I know that there's a lot of activity. A fight is going on to challenge the power of General Motors to make such a brutal decision against the population of a city that's brought them great wealth, that is the workers of General Motors and all the affiliated workers in the region. I guess let's start with this. It's been a little escalation in political language, and my understanding is that there are people calling for the nationalization of General Motors. Is that true?
That is correct, and it began with the retired workers chapter of Local 222, which has always been a very progressive and active group. And they adopted a resolution that called not only for nationalizing General Motors, but nationalizing it and putting the facilities under democratic workers and community control, which envisages really converting the productive capacity that it's there, utilizing the skills and knowledge of the workers and the facility, the equipment, the technology that really has been paid for by a combination of government support and mainly the profitable work that the workers have contributed, the value of the work that workers have contributed over the years, mm-hmm. and using that to meet real social needs. So not just producing whatever might be profitable at any given moment, but looking at what we need as a society as we need to transition to a more sustainable economy. And so that resolution was adopted by the retired workers, and then it was adopted by the general membership meeting of Unifor Local 222, so I'm representing the workers at GM and all of the other units, the other workplaces in Oshawa that are members of that union. And then it was adopted by the Durham Region Labor Council, which represents all of the unionized workers in Oshawa and the surrounding areas.
Mm-hmm. I hope this is available various places. I know that you write at solonet.ca. Is all these resolutions available there?
I don't think that they are at the moment, but I think that we need to make sure that they are posted there. There's a campaign website on Facebook or a campaign Facebook page called Campaign to Keep GM Oshawa Open, and they're available there. So that would be a good place for people to start if they wanted to read the text of the resolution.
Mm-hmm. In reading it, I was struck by something. It is not heard a lot, this term, nationalization. It has been historically in the past. Actually, Pierre Trudeau spoke of such things when he was prime minister. I understand he's related to the current one. But you cite de Havilland and aircraft, Toronto and Algoma, Sault Ste. Marie. So what happened there?
Algoma Steel was nationalized by the provincial government of Ontario when it was in shaky shape financially, and the action was taken because it was clearly in the public interest to protect the jobs and the productive capacity that was there, steel making in Canada. And it was successful, and that plant is still in operation today. Mm-hmm. And similarly, with
so it saved it. It did. It happened, and it saved that plant.
It did, and it's still functioning today. And that's decades later. De Havilland Aircraft went through a period of federal government ownership, to save the plant once. And then later on, the provincial government brokered another major period of the provincial government owning a large equity stake to save it a second time. And it's still in operation with thousands of jobs. I think it's the largest manufacturing facility in the city of Toronto. Mm-hmm. And so both of those actions were taken because they were in the public interest, because the idea that corporations could do whatever they want, open or close plants and devastate communities, that wasn't accepted at that time, because it was more important for the community and for the workers to take the action that was needed to keep those plants open. And they're both examples where that action was successful and those jobs are still there. The facilities are still operating.
Yeah. There's also in this resolution, which, as you say, the Durham District Labor Council has passed it, Local 222 has passed it, and it was initiated by the Retired Workers Chapter of Local 222. Right off the bat, it says that there was a bailout to save. In a way, it's a kind of almost like nationalization. Public money was put there to put in place in the billions to keep General Motors running smoothly.
A very large contribution from federal and provincial governments, $10.8 billion in 2009. And what do we get in return for that? Is it only so that the shareholders of General Motors can benefit, or should there be a broader benefit for the citizens of Canada, for the community, and for the workers?
Mm-hmm. Well, that, yes, and they, having put up that amount, a large amount, and then not all of it, as I understand it, was actually returned, but the company also has been doing very well, haven't they?
They've been making record profits ever since. And that's the
At the Oshawa plant, they've been making record profit.
Well, the Oshawa plant has been one of the most productive plants that GM has. So they won't.
Well, this will be punishment
exactly
for that.
How much? But yeah, punishment. Now that the attitude of corporate executives like GM is that workers and communities are expendable. That they're to be used while they can profit from them, and then to be discarded when they think they can make profits more profits somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But it's not because they haven't been successful. They've been making billions of dollars of profit every year since the bailout in 2009.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Tony Leah. He is the chairman of the Political Action Committee, Unifor Local 222. And that's, of course, General Motors Oshawa, which has been put under the axe by General Motors, and they're destined, I think, is it the December of this year? What is it, the date that they say they're going to close it?
The most recent information we have is that they'll end production in our plant by the beginning of December of 2019, this year.
Mm-hmm. Now, something occurred in Oshawa that caught a lot of attention. A very celebrated entertainer known as Sting came and performed. We spoke to you actually on this program briefly about it. He has a production called The Last Ship. Now, you've seen it. Both you saw his special performance he put on in Oshawa, I guess, songs from the performance, but you've also seen from beginning to end the entire production. As a GM worker about facing the closing of a plant, what did you take away from it? What struck you about his performance?
The play is amazing, and it's a very good exposition of what workers need to do and to be active, to act in their own interest. One of the themes of the play, and it's based on the closure of the shipyards in Sting's hometown in Newcastle, is that workers need to not accept what they're told, that corporations make the decisions and they're just collateral damage. And the message of the play, in Sting's word, is we don't accept that. We don't accept the implacable will of the marketplace. We don't accept that we're expendable. We have to act as workers. And the play illustrates that in a very stirring and exciting way, that workers can take action to reject the logic of governments that act for corporations and corporations. And they say, actually, we don't need those owners. We're the workers that do the work. We don't need them. And we can take over the shipyard. We can build the ship ourselves, and we can decide what to do with the products of our labor.
Mm-hmm. But it is so important, what you're telling us, because as you know, the snooty upper-class media that we live with, if you were to put on a play, say something by Shaw or Brecht or something, and they say, okay, you know, the workers march into the factory and they take it, and they all begin to smirk and roll their eyes. But this happened in Newcastle.
Well, it certainly happened in the shipyards in the United Kingdom. The biggest example was not that far from Newcastle, in the Clyde shipyards, where Jimmy Reed was the union leader in the early 1970s, and they actually resisted the government saying those shipyards were going to be closed, and they took over and continued building ships and ran the shipyards for 18 months until the government backed down and agreed to keep it open. So, yes, mm-hmm. workers have shown that capacity.
What was your reaction like? You were actually in the plant when they were doing the performance in Oshawa. People talk about it, and what's it do? How's it affect people and their morale or their attitudes?
Well, of course, a lot of people were thrilled with the performance, thrilled that Sting and the cast showed that solidarity with the workers in Oshawa, and understood that what his play is about is exactly the same issue that's facing workers in Oshawa. The problem, of course, is that the national leadership of our union, even though they were sitting there with, you know, watching the play, clearly haven't absorbed the lessons that Sting is trying to get across.
Yeah.
And so that, while some people are encouraged and there's been tremendous desire to take on GM and to fight, there's also a certain level of discouragement because of the very narrow approach that Jerry Dias, the leader of Unifor, has taken. He hasn't raised these kind of large ideas to challenge the ownership and decision-making of corporations. He hasn't challenged our governments to act in a significant way to prevent GM from devastating our community. He's focused on a public relations exercise that...
A Super Bowl ad.
The focus.
You had a Super Bowl ad.
Super Bowl ads. And,
yes.
Ads on TV that shift the focus from GM to workers in Mexico and call on boycotting vehicles assembled in Mexico, which is dividing workers, not challenging the corporation.
By the way, I haven't seen that ad recently. Is that ad still going? Or because I don't know whether I should buy a vehicle from Mexico now. See, I'm torn. Should I buy that?
Jerry's stopped telling people that. They actually say that they're having a ceasefire right now. They got a slap on the wrist from the Ontario Labor Relations Board, ruling that they had been engaged in illegal work stoppages. And I guess they've decided to be... to tuck their tail between their legs and behave. And not only are they not organizing any actions on the job, they haven't. They've also dropped their advertising campaign, and they're saying nothing while they have some discussions with GM.
Well, that's very interesting. I I suppose we're lucky we have the United States between us and Mexico, because that was not a nice thing to do, or at least in the view, I assume, of Mexican auto workers. By the way, there are a lot of Mexican auto workers.
Yes. And the labor.
And they're very active, by the way. I don't know if we should give them more publicity, because they're setting an example how to fight back.
In the Maquiladora area, there's still major strikes going on, demanding a 20% increase and bonuses that the workers are due, and they've been winning those strikes. They're talking about revitalizing their own labor movement in a very active way, and we don't hear much about that, certainly not from Unifor leadership. I think some other unions have, like the steelworkers, have been better about showing solidarity with those workers in Mexico. But nothing from Jerry. And in fact, of course, Jerry's not even interested in solidarity with the labor movement in Canada. Withdrew our union from the Canadian Labor Congress, which is making it harder right now for us to take on battles like this one against GM.
It certainly is a bit of a challenge to you. We do have, like you just mentioned, actually, the District Labor Council endorsed that resolution. District Labor Council is made up of other unions. But they, after all, Canadian workers, not just organized workers, are all impacted by a decision by this company, which, as you say, they just say, we decide what's profitable and where a factory will be, and we don't need the input of so-called citizens. It seems to me it's a challenge to the Canadian Labor Congress. It's a challenge to the Ontario Federation of Labor, and of all Canadians, certainly workers, to say we got to put an end to the arrogance of companies like this.
That's right. And to be effective, we need leadership in the labor movement, which is going to have that broader view, challenge the supposed logic of capitalism, and really act on behalf of workers. And we need bold ideas like the idea of nationalizing General Motors, of reconverting our industries. One of the things that I find very exciting and hopeful is the direction that the Canadian Union of Postal Workers is taking. And they have a campaign right now called Delivering Community Power, which talks about how the post office can be a center of renewal and renewable energy and expanding public services. And one of the things that they call for, the post office has the largest public vehicle fleet in the country, and they're calling for manufacturing in Canada, in union-made facilities, a fleet of electric cars and vans for the post office. So that fits in very well with the demand that we're raising. And that's the kind of broader view that we need in the labor movement, the leadership of the labor movement.
Yeah. And again, it's Tony Lee of Local 222, Unifor. And you're one of the voices that has pointed out this talk of electric vehicles is not a fantasy. It is happening and is actually going to happen. So why isn't everybody, in labor movement included, saying, let's do it and start at General Motors?
Exactly. This is we can make Oshawa one of the driving forces in a Green New Deal in Canada, to borrow a phrase that the Democratic Socialists in the United States have been very successful with in raising bolder ideas. And really, the first place that we heard workers saying that the response to GM in their threat to close plants is that communities and workers should seize those plants was when we were at the rally held by the Democratic Socialists.
Well, is that the one that you attended? I know you saw a Congresswoman Tlaib, a Muslim Congresswoman from Michigan, and a member of Democratic Socialist America, right?
Yes, Rashida Tlaib was one of the leading people in that demonstration that we took part in Detroit in January, and we had a busload of auto workers from Oshawa, and again, it was our retired workers chapter that took the lead and paid for that bus to take people, because we wanted to show international solidarity because we wanted to show that the way to take on General Motors is by uniting the workers who are being cast aside by them, in not just in Oshawa, but in Detroit, in other cities in the United States, and you know, other workers that are facing attacks by GM in Brazil and Korea and Mexico. We have to be stronger if we have international solidarity.
Yeah, and the magic word has gotten out of the bottle again: socialism. I don't know if Ms. Tlaib or Bernie Sanders might interest the NDP in socialism. Probably not, but we need to hear it here.
Yes, one of the places that we are promoting our resolution, and we're hoping to spread it far and wide in the labor movement and beyond. But it is going to be going to the Ontario NDP convention, and we hope that it does spark interest in really challenging the problems that workers are facing in this country, which all are rooted in a capitalist economic and political domination.
Yeah. Well, Tony Leah, Solonet.ca, Unifor 222, thank you very, very much.
Thanks, Phil.
Been a pleasure. This is Taylor Report, CIT, and we have a moment or two. I think it's very striking that we have this. I think Time Magazine or Newsweek suddenly says, "Golly, are we going to be talking about socialism?" Somebody attacked this woman. Her name from Ortiz, or I can't even.
Ocasio Cortez.
Yeah. Ocasio. I'm going to get there. Yeah. I should remember Cortez. That's our great villain in history. Yeah. So they said about her. They said, "Well, she's only supported by the youth and by women and minorities." And she said, "Oh. Wow,
wow, that's
I'm really losing out here. Could you repeat that?" Actually, the way she put it was, she said, "You mean the white old men aren't supporting me?"
Well, some of us are, actually.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, and it's happening very fast. I mean, who knew that the GM, we'd be talking about these kinds of matters, and that Sting would get involved with this great performance called The Last Ship. We're going to hear a little bit of The Last Ship, and we'll get out of here. And we've got to thank Sam for coming in through all the illness, et cetera. And